This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to inthemoneystocks.com. Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 4/2021, show number 249. Well, Nick, what's doing with the markets today?
Well, we got markets under pressure today, so we have a little bit of selling going on for the second consecutive session. Earnings season is underway so far, but the bright spot for the market today, believe it or not, is IBM. I wouldn't suspect that one, but that's up about, as we speak, about 4.5%. So good move for IBM today. That's really the strength in the major indexes, I should say the Dow. But today it looks like we have some laggards on our hands. We have Boeing down pretty decent. Goldman Sachs is down. Nike. These are all weighing on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And then the Russell 2000 is getting clobbered again today, down over 2%. So we'll have to watch that closely. Even the NASDAQ's down 0.75%. So it's a decent little pullback day. Decent decline. No volume behind it, but it's a decent dip. Until we get volume, though, don't make too much out of these pullbacks. It's everything. Volume is everything right now. It'll show you once you get high volume, you know that it's no longer just a little guy. It's really institutional money moving it. So again, watch for volume. Volume's really non-existent out here today. Even yesterday, we had a little uptick in volume for a Monday, but it was still pretty light overall. And that really is going to be the nail in the coffin for at least for my analysis.
Okay. Well, we're going to be watching that volume real closely, and you always say watch those spiders, right?
That's right. Watch the spider volume. You don't really have to look at anything else. That'll tell you, because that's 500 companies, so you're getting a really, really broad perspective, and it usually does the job pretty well.
All right, so we're going to watch the spiders, because that's, you know, when you called the last crash there in last March, the spiders were the tip-off then, weren't they?
Yes, they were, and they always are.
All right, so just remember, watch the spiders. And hey, so gold and silver up modestly today?
Yeah, I have to say, very impressive though, because the markets are selling off and we're looking at gold futures just up $5, but just the fact that they're up and they're consolidating. And in fact, look at gold miners today, up another 34 cents. That's 1%. So, you know, gold is acting really, really well right now. I love everything that I'm seeing on the chart for gold. I don't really see any major problem here. We'll see where we finish. It's not how we open, it's how we finish the day. But so far, so good.
All right, let's see how we finish. And so, Nick, getting back to these cryptocurrencies, is there any tip-off that a huge decline is going to come in cryptos? Is there a way that you've seen on these charts to call that?
Yeah, I mean, right now, what you look for is that parabolic setup, which cryptos already have. If anybody looks at a continuous chart of, say, Bitcoin, and we'll use that because that's the most active of all the cryptocurrencies. But if you look at a chart of, say, Bitcoin, and you go back and look at, say, a monthly pattern, you'll see that this pattern is basically vertical. It goes straight up. So we know we're already in the making of a parabolic move. Now, it's very, very hard to know if the move has completed itself until you get what we call a high volume reversal day at a top. So that's something we'd have to watch for. But when I look at the cryptos now, and I look at, say, a continuous contract, because I like to look at the futures contracts of everything. And when you look at that, you say, wow, you know, we might be putting in a major top for Bitcoin now. And I think that's very possible.
Yeah, we're going to have to see if it's going to go up there and break that 60,000 mark again.
Yeah, well, it went up as high, I believe, as 65.5. It went to 65,500. So now we are around the 55,000 marker. So, you know, that's still a test to get through that level. Could it happen? Sure, it's still possible. But ultimately, I think that we're very close. Even if we make a new nominal high, and then we come back underneath that 65,000 level, I think that's a really good tip off that Bitcoin has peaked.
And that could be a double top, right? And
that would be what we call a tweezer double top. Yeah, close, a double top that just happened, you know, right after making a new high. And that's very often a good topping pattern as well. If it does that, it may not even go up there and test it. We don't know. I don't know. But what I would say, if it does, then you see if it comes back underneath the old high that was just made recently, a few days ago. And if it does that, and you got, and it does that with volume, you probably have a top in place.
All right. So here's a question for you, and it's, I'm paraphrasing Brian, one of our listeners to the show, saying that if Bitcoin is so different than every other market out there, and if it's really, if this time everything is different, why do we even bother watching the charts for Bitcoin?
It's a good point, but nothing's different. That's my point. My point is nothing is different. This is just another asset class that was developed out of thin air, really. You need fiat currency to buy it. So I don't think there's anything different this time. Human emotion, Jesse Livermore said it best. He said, human emotion never changes, therefore the markets never change. And, you know, why did people buy tulip bulbs? You know, why were they spending a month or 2 months worth of salary to buy tulip bulbs back, you know, 1600s in the Netherlands? I never understood that, but it was a mania. And like all things become, you know, a mania. This is the anti-dollar, anti-fiat play, right? Everybody says, but, you know, notice Coinbase just went public and they're going to be traded in dollars. So it really makes no sense to me. I get it. You know, you want something else that you could trade or you can use as a currency, perhaps
store
down
of
the
value.
Road. Sure. Store of value. I get it. But you need dollars to buy this thing. I just don't understand it. To me, it's like a glorified Ponzi scheme. And there are just people piling in on it. As soon as they run out of people to pile in on it, what happens?
Well, but that's it. It's such a small percentage of the world's people with money are actually in cryptos that they have an inexhaustible supply virtually of potential purchasers down the road, or at least that's what they're hoping. I just incorporated a new company. I wanted to let you know we're going to issue a cryptocurrency. It's called the Tulip Ponzi LLC, and we'll be selling shares on it. And if anybody's interested, you know, we're promising real big returns for the early people, not so much for the Johnny come latelys, though.
And that's a perfect example right now. You know, are you still an early investor in this, or are you a Johnny come lately? You know, that's really what's going to be the tail of the tape here. You know, I think all of these central bankers are moving towards a digital currency. So we're no longer going to hold paper cash in our wallet or euro in our wallet. We're going to have some kind of little chip device, I suppose. That's where they're all going. And they've already openly stated this. So I have to think that they don't want the competition with somebody else out there, whether it's a Dogecoin, an Ethereum, or a Bitcoin.
Dogecoin. I think it's Doge, but whatever.
Yeah,
I know
Dogecoin,
what you're saying.
Dogecoin. I'm dodging it all I can. So.
I think it was like a big joke, like Musk. You know, he's got a great sense of humor because he appointed his CFO, the chief of coin or something like that. And he's the tech king. And, you know, just really throwing it out at the SEC because he really hates them. And hey, speaking of, can we just get a brief analysis by you? Jim out there, or maybe it was Jane, I don't remember, asked, can Nick please take a look at Tesla? Tell us what he thinks the chart's saying.
Yeah, sure. So Tesla's had a very, very good snapback after a big sell-off. So stock topped out basically on the 25th of January at around $900 a share. It rolled over pretty sharply down to around $539 a share. That occurred on the 5th. Now it's made what we call an ABC or zigzag move back up to around $780 a share. Now it's pulling back a little bit. So it's consolidating, but I honestly think if this stock breaks back down below 650, it's headed down to probably 500, then ultimately $400. The trend is still up in this name. So if it does take out the recent high, and I'm talking about the high made about a week ago, which was at around $780, then, you know, you could go up and test the 800 level or maybe even get to 820. A lot of resistance there at the moment, but watch that key 650 level. That's going to be prime. You close below that on a weekly chart basis, this stock is probably going to go make new lows.
Huh. Okay. So this, what's significant about the 650 level?
Well, 650 area, give or take, you know, 10 points or so with this stock, is a very, very big level, because if you take a look at the recent low from March 5th, the stock went up to around $700 and then it consolidated there and made a higher low. And then it did what we call a little breakup around on the 31st of March. That's a key area there. And then it did a little consolidation again, and then it broke up to that $780 level, which was made on the 14th of April. And now it's pulling back right now. So nothing terrible with it at the moment. But if you get back down to that 650 level, which was really where this thing was basing to make that ABC zigzag type move up into that 780, 1980, if you break through there, all of the buyers that were there probably give it up. And that's where the stock really could face some distribution. So keep 650. It might be 640. You know, it's right in that area. That's going to be your key support level. If that does not get defended or we lose that level, the stock loses that support area, it's lights out. This will be a $500 stock. And then ultimately, I think goes down to 400.
Yeah, a buying opportunity if ever there was one, Nick, right?
Down at 400, I bet you there's going to be some buyers, you know, but right up here at this level, you know, this stock is very, very vulnerable to more of a correction over the next month or two.
All right. Well, I think we'll leave it at that for today. Make sure you go over to inthemoneystocks.com, take a look at Nick's trading record and get an idea of his system. And make sure you take a look at the Twitter feeds at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, at Kerry Lutz and Nick, and any emails, as you see, we are getting to them now. Please send them to kl@kerrylutz.com, my personal email box. And Nick, we will pick up tomorrow.
Sounds good, Kerry.
And so concludes another episode of Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Be sure to go to his website, inthemoneystocks.com. Don't forget the Twitter feeds, at ITMS and at NickSantiago01.